Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This month, Streaming Things is brought to you by our super Patreon supporters, Chester Copperpot, Jade, Jillian Morgan, Aaron Layton, Andrew Gray, Casey McCain, Crystal Trujillo, Jen Robinson, John Collins, Kalisha Reeves, Kate, Kiki Newton, and Will Nash.
Kick.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, the one podcast to rule them all.
And in the RSS feeds, bind them.
Bind them.
Beautiful.
Touch it. It's quite cool, Steve. It's quite cool. Oh, not that. The ring.
That's good. Oh, sorry. Out of context.
I told you to touch something cool.
It's a secret now only fire can tell.
Oh, my, sir.
It means you can't tell on me.
It's getting hot in here.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, if you're new, I'm really sorry. But it's unlikely because we're talking about episode 4. Of the Rings of Power. Sorry, that's Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, titled The Great Wave. And we just finished watching it. We're going to give our overall thoughts on the episode and then do a scene by scene-ish breakdown and then get into some second breakfast, any kind of Easter eggs or lore tidbits that we found. And then Old Toby, the finest scenes in the South Farthing, our top 3 favorite moments. And then end the episode with the one performance to rule them all. Our favorite performance of the episode. That's what we do here. But
there
first,
can only be one.
We do have at least one correction that I want to highlight here. And by the way, for the YouTubers at home, here's my lock screen, which is my forever queen, Daenerys. Just want to show everybody that.
It's a different show.
And Sarah.
My forever queen, Daenerys.
Oh, my Lord. What are we doing?
What's your lock screen, Steve?
It's the fucking default Apple thing because I have no one.
I have Daenerys. You could have come up with something. All right. We got an email. This comes in. I'm going to butcher the spelling. Or I'm not going to spell it. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. I believe it's Maika Mink.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. But there's a huge correction to last week's episode. Andy, he gave a very smart sounding claim in his second breakfast segment.
I stand by it.
That's good. He sounded great. We didn't question it.
We were impressed.
It was wonderful.
It sounded
and
right.
It's very close
us.
In
let's
his defense.
Just live in that moment, guys.
Yeah. Let's just remember
Let that
when
sink
Andy
in.
Was cool.
Yeah. But they wrote in and said, I remembered in the gift giving scene in the Fellowship, Galadriel sang, I give you the light of Arendil, our most beloved star, instead of Elendil, which is very close.
Come
right?
on.
Apparently.
Come on. Just give it
you
to me.
You say tomato Arendil. And I say tomato.
So Arendil is Elrond's father, which is talked about in this episode 4. Elendil is not Elrond's father. That's the name of the gift that Galadriel gives him, the light. So, but Elendil, the emailer mentions, is shouted by Aragorn, maybe, by their recollection, which because it's his ancestor. So, like, it's a battle cry for him, which probably did happen.
I mean, who hasn't rushed an enemy and shouted that?
Only people who have not lived.
That's what I do every time I go into a Chipotle. I'm just, Elendil!
I actually got
in the garlic steak.
I got in a fight once in middle school. I think I was in third or fourth grade. I was trying to play basketball. And there was no shirts or skins or anything. We all just had our regular civvies.
So no one had any dibs?
And I didn't play any sports ever. So I passed the ball to the opposite team. And he tricked me too. Like, I think I've told this story. Like, he knew I was stupid and unathletic and chubby and dumb. And so he just like clapped and said, "Here, buddy." And like, I passed it to him. And he was like, and like did a layup. So I started crying and punching him. But before that, I shouted, "Elendil!" So that was a long, true story set up for a joke.
And then all of your friends were on the sidelines like, ah, they like ran to
for Frodo. Exactly. I had a weird school. But and this was actually before the movies came out. We were just a bunch of super nerds.
You guys are ahead of your time.
Indeed. Indeed. So what did you guys think of episode 4 of The Rings of Power?
This was my favorite episode. It was really, really, really good. Awesome. It felt like it finally was moving the plot along. It had some of the most beautiful shots that the show has had yet. And it has been a gorgeous show up to this point.
Yes.
So the beauty was on display.
No one can take that away from The Rings of Power.
And it really honestly felt like, honestly, what should have happened like an episode or two ago. Like, it's really ramping up to something awesome. And like, now that we've spent a lot of time with these characters, even the ones that I have heretofore kind of disliked, I felt something this time. And rather than you being in a hurry to move on to the next scene, to the characters I cared about, even the ones that I previously disliked, this time I was like, ooh, what's going on with them? So yeah, I thought it was great.
Steve, what'd you think?
I kind of agree. This definitely was a much, much, much more improved episode in regards to last week. Because last week, we were all three pretty hard on last week's episode.
Yeah.
But this one was...
We lost the listener.
I know, yeah. We did. R.I.P. but no, like, this one was a lot more fun. There was some really good action, really good character development. There was a lot, like Andy talked about how beautiful it looked. It was probably the best paced episode out of all the ones we've seen so far. It definitely felt like it was moving along. It didn't feel like it dragged. There's still characters that I know they're super important to the world of Lord of the Rings, but the way they're being presented in the show, I just don't give a shit about them. And that still is the case. But this episode didn't make them, I don't know, they weren't as shoehorned, I felt, as they were last episode. So I had a
We're like used to them now.
Yeah, I'm like, we need to see what Isildur's fucking doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I know he's important. I know he's a big deal and we should care. But the way that they're presenting him so far, I don't.
big same.
Overall, like, I much, much happier with the show. I wish that this... The feelings that this episode elicited from me, I think should have happened an episode prior, because episode 3 was really like this is the make or break kind of episode for me in terms of the show, and it failed, right? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So going into this episode, if I'm being fully transparent, I was just kind of like, okay.
How many left?
We are committed.
We're committed. I'm going to do my shake 8 exercises before Andy and Chris come over so I can get happy and excited. And I'm going to give it my due diligence. I'm going to be a journalist with integrity, right? I'm going to review this with an open mind and an honest lens to look through. And fortunately, this episode was much better. And now I'm a lot more excited to continue on with this series, because this one was kind of like, okay, good. Okay, fine. They do have a plan. We're not just plodding around. Because at the end of this episode, there's something that happens in the end of this episode that, like, actually I was surprised at how much it kind of hit me, where like the emotion was like, yeah, the Khaleesi's going to Westeros. It was one of those moments, but there it wouldn't had.
You keep my queen out of your mouth.
Hey, that's a good thing.
Take my wife's name. No, sorry.
But yes,
we don't joke about Will Smith.
But we'll get into that when we get into it. Chris, what did you think about this episode?
I mostly agree with you guys. I think I'm not quite as warm on the show as a whole as either of you. but I'm like just below it, I think. At least that's my impression. But I do think this episode was very strong. And I think I know the moment that you're talking about. And I was almost, I think I was pretty shocked that I was, I'm feeling the feels as well. I think the problem, it's not even a problem. Like there's nothing, I think the show, and for all of its quote unquote faults, is 100% by design. It's just maybe sometimes not for me. Like they are languishing in the details of this world intentionally. It's honestly, it makes me feel like what I felt like reading the books when I was a kid. Cause it was like, come on, come on, come on. That's really cool, but I don't care. Come on, come on, come on. Wow. Come on, come on, come on. And that's kind of how the show is. And maybe that's by design. And like, I had a hot take on TikTok where I said that the movies were better than the books. And I like a lot of people were shitting their pants. And then I'm like, I did that intentionally just because I think Tolkien languishes in so many of the details that I find it honestly quite a slog at times. But that's what the show is doing, is celebrating all of this like labyrinthine lore. And so if you're into that, what a treat this must be, right? Celebrimbor, Celebrimbor, Celebibida, Bugra, Elendil, Elefnind, Erendil,
Durin, and Durin.
You know, there's just so many names that, you know, I'm a super nerd and I consider myself a, not an S tier, but an A tier fan of Lord of the Rings. And still like, there's a lot of these names and mentions where I'm like, what? So yeah, anyway, that's, I hope that explains my hesitation, but my overall opinion is very positive on like the production value of this show is out of this world. But like you guys said, it's ramping up. There's the potential for the last four episodes to just be fucking stellar. We start checking some of these boxes and maybe getting some answers to a lot of these questions. I just hope, I want some more elf action, man. Like, is that too much? Like I need some action. Like we got a little bit of Erendir in this episode doing some elf stuff. I need more of that.
Yes.
And Galadriel hasn't done anything
since episode
physical
one.
Since the first episode. I'm just very impressed with her fighting. I love that. Like I said, last episode, you know, if we're going to have her be this like stoic, one track mind, just super motivated warrior queen that she is. It's great. Let her warrior queen some stuff, you know? But she's just
let her warrior queen some stuff, man.
I think we're positioned for that is what I'm saying at the end of this episode. So I'm really hyped for episode five for sure. But anyway, the Great Wave, the show opens with, the Queen Regent Muriel holding a baby. There's like a baby party.
It's a Numenorean baptism.
Yeah, is that what it is?
That's what I wrote.
They're just like, here, my
bless my baby,
my royal person. Will you hold my baby and hold just my say baby. Some cryptic things about
one is named Alanel. That's all I caught.
I love this scene because she's holding the baby. She's doing her regent queenly duties of like doing her part in this ceremony. And then when shit starts going down, you know, the
she says the island needs a stretch.
The white leaves are floating. The islands need to stretch. And you see the big wave coming. She's just walking off with this random woman's baby. And you see that woman in the background like, my lady. can I get that back? I'm going to need it.
I need Elenil.
You still got my baby.
Please.
You've still got my baby.
But, and then she turns around and she looks out the little doorway and we kind of see the end of the movie 2012 happening right outside of Numenor.
John Cusack's running across the screen.
He's like in a limo.
He's holding a speaker over his head.
A giant tsunami on Numenor. And I was actually audibly like, oh shit. And then it was all a dream.
Yeah. So you thought in the moment that that was actually happening, like, oh, dang, we're just going to wipe the map with all these characters in Numenor.
I did. That was my cynicism of episode three, but I was kind of like, yes.
Just move it on, man.
Chris is just like, burn it down.
Well, I started to think like, honestly, scramble like, oh, yeah, Numenor is destroyed, I guess. And then I was like, is it? Because I know there's this whole thing with Numenor where they want to journey back to Valinor because it's the farthest, most western outpost of mortals. And beyond that is Valinor. And so, but I can't remember what happens to Numenor other than that. I know the Dúnedain or whatever the Dúnedain are not there anymore. They're the kingdom on Middle Earth. So confused. All that happened in like 2 seconds in my brain. And then I realized it was a dream. So it's fine. It's actually pretty impressive the amount of thoughts you can get through. It's like, what is that? DMT, the spirit molecule that causes that.
You've been doing drugs?
No, I mean, it's naturally occurring in your brain. Right. But anywho, it's all a dream. And then we realized that she would just been scared of that tsunami. She woke up. Oh my God. I don't have any.
Wouldn't you?
But she was still holding a baby. It was weird. She wasn't.
She wakes up. She's like, how the hell? Whose baby is this?
Alamil? And we cut
queen,
to.
You've kidnapped a child.
We cut to like an awkward like rally of people against a type of other people. And it's very uncomfortable. They keep calling her the elf as well.
Our bosses are going to start hiring those robots.
They took our germs. The elves.
And they're going to take our germs.
Took our germs.
Feed all the rabble who scream revolution. That was stuck in my head the entire time. The scene from Hamilton. You guys know what I'm talking about.
I was just listening to Hamilton on the way here.
So good.
Not that song, though. So
good. It is kind of interesting. I do like the way.
Sisters. That's what I was listening to.
I do like how the guy that's kind of rabble rousing is saying, they don't tire. They don't need to sleep.
They don't
die. They're stronger than you. They don't die. They don't take breaks. They don't eat. Like if you're a mortal man, like in that's a workforce coming in. Yeah. You would be kind of like, oh shit, the robots are going to take our job. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening in the modern day, you know, or our world. I shouldn't say modern day.
Yeah. This wasn't in the past.
We don't know how modern the Lord of the Rings.
Steve thinks this is a historical text.
Back in the years when.
Back in the second age.
You all know about the second age, right? Yeah.
Have we learned nothing? Yeah, so there's like a anti-elf rally, we'll call it. And we cut to Chancellor Farazan walking around in like a marketplace looking thing, talking to his advisors and stuff. And the guy's like, was that Kevin?
Kevin? Kellen, I think his name was. But
Kemen.
Kevin.
Kemen with an M.
Kemen. We're just going to stick with Kevin.
And Kemen was like, oh, there's a bit of a squall, my lord.
Hello.
Squall, of course, is another word for sea storm,
I
believe.
His son, right?
Is Kemen his son?
Yeah, Kemen's his kid.
And then we cut back to the rally.
They're getting even more upset.
And
Alexander Hamilton shows up and starts rapping with him.
And basically, Farazan like joins them, like he agrees with them to placate them, right? To mollify them. And he kind of speaks against the Queen Regent, I thought. I thought he was like seizing the opportunity to steal power from her, but it didn't look like later in the episode that's what was going on. But he talks about things like, yeah, she's... because the one guy, the rally leader, the rabble rouser, as you called it, was like, I think she's an elf lover, just like her father. So that's where we learn that the true king was a very good friend to the elves. And then Farazan steps up and he's like, yeah, but don't worry, we're never going to let that shit happen ever.
Because we're dope.
And I bought everybody beer. Shots.
Yay. You know what makes any angry mob
calmer. Fireball, cinnamon whiskey.
Fireball, cinnamon whiskey. You just give them all shots and you're like, we're the best. Take a shot. We're so cool. Take another shot.
Then they go home.
And then they go home peacefully. They go sleep. To bed. They go sleep.
It's like everybody in our Discord right now.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Fireball,
cinnamon it's wine whiskey. O'clock in the Discord.
Then we cut to Aodian and Kemen. They're chatting it up.
Kemen.
So Aarion, for those who didn't remember, is Isildur's sister, Elendil's daughter, and Kemen, we think, is Farazan's son. And he's flirting it up. And then we cut back to, who the fuck do we cut back to?
Galadriel. She's talking to the queen.
It's the queen, right? Yeah, like she says, you vex me, elf.
Yes. But yeah, she tells the queen that of her suspected origins for Halbrand, like he is the heir to the Southlands people. He is their rightful king. We should join forces and take them there. And then we'll make sure that the Southland people are not put under boot by the forces of Sauron. And the queen's like, nah.
Yeah. She's like, thought about it. Not going to do it. Mm-mm. And then Galadriel's
I've heard
like
some ambitious tales in my time, but that may take the cake.
I've heard of cake and you take it. And then
the cake.
And then she says, basically Galadriel's like, well, let me talk to the real boss. You're just the regent, bitch ass regent. And then the queen regent, Queen Muriel, says, something about a Quelliner. I know how to quell your ass. Right.
Well, then Galadriel says, oh, there's a tempest inside me.
Oh, that's right. She's like, which is because Galadriel that we know in the future, the third age talks about storms.
Mm-hmm. Super tempesty.
Terrible as a storm. I did that voice.
Does she say in the movie, does Galadriel say like she says something similar.
I thought she said terrible as a storm.
Okay.
Yeah. One of her lines, I thought. But anyway, then the queen regent is like, I know how to quell that tempest. Locks her up. Lock her up.
I love the edit for that because, yeah, Galadriel's getting all like fired up and like, there's a tempest inside me. Smash cut to them closing the barred prison cell. And
they
even, doors.
They make a joke of it too. Halbrand's like laughing, like a tavern brawl. And she's like, sedition. And sedition, he's like, yeah. We're both in jail.
Classic.
This is hilarious because I'm Sauron. I think this is funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's definitely. The entire Sauron. Time we're watching this show, every time Halbrand pops up, Steve sneaks in some comment about how he's Sauron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, was it Tavern Brawl, Sauron?
Oh, I bet you know a lot about sedition, Lord of Secrets.
And darkness.
Yeah.
Ringmaker.
Yeah. Hal Brand, if that even.
Dark Wink. Sorcerer.
K Jewelers of the of Hell. that's a joke the only locals will get. It might be a national company. I don't know. I hope.
I don't know.
I hope.
Every gift begins with K. K.
It does. Every gift begins with
That's
K.
That's not how it's spelled.
We cut to Sildor. And there's like a woman. We didn't talk about this last time. I don't think. There's like a lady a couple feet away from the boat. Like, Sildor.
Well, she's the lady of the West.
Sildor.
Like he's trying to pull on ropes. And then he just hears this woman like, hey, buddy.
I got cake.
Everybody wants cake. Punch and pie.
Thank you, cake. So what do we think this voice is? Because Andy, I think off air mentioned, like, hey, that's the ring, right? That's what you said.
And, yeah, I thought that.
And I was like, the rings don't exist yet. And we both looked confusedly at each other.
Yeah, I don't know what's calling.
Which is
them.
Not an adverb that exists, but at least not the way that I said it. But then. Was it just the evil in general, the malaise of the Middle Earth that's calling toward him?
I know what it is.
It's Sauron.
It's destiny.
Destiny?
Destiny's calling him.
Well, if you ever watched The Last Kingdom, you would know that Uhtred frequently says, destiny is all.
Destiny.
Uhtred, son of Uhtred?
Mm-hmm. Destiny is all.
What's the cadence that he talks in, Chris?
I can't ever... I can't do it as poorly as he does it.
It is a weird. You sent a video of it because I hadn't seen it. And you're right. That guy does have a weird cadence to it.
But I love that show. I can't help it. But anyway, there's the mystery, probably evil lady calling. And then he gets them all dismissed. He purposefully drops the rope that I think is port to starboard to aft. And I don't know how boats work.
Definitely what it was.
And all the other friends jump for it. And the captain of the boat
everybody
like,
goes, no, the rope.
Oi. You know how to do that rope.
Jason Momoa on Wish was like, hey, man, you've done that a million times.
Yes.
You did that deliberately. You and your friends
both
are
your buddies.
Out of here.
Is that a baseball reference?
The umpire's like throwing out the coach who's trying to back up his player.
That was a baseball reference.
And Isildur like threw his hat down, starts like kicking the dirt at him.
Mm-hmm.
It smash cuts to Isildur and his friends, I think, and like they just got kicked out. So they're in the alley and they're all like, you ruined everything for us. And Isildur, maybe for the first time in his life, but not for the last time in his life, is realizing that his actions have consequences for others.
Well, I don't know that he ever realizes that the next time.
That's true. But it seems like a thing with him.
He did. He did.
It seems to be a thing with Isildur.
Yeah. Not a big fan of Isildur and his decisions. But then we cut to Arendir, back to Arendir. And he's just got like 14 orcs staring at him like he's holding orc court. Tell us, elf. Tell us a good story, elf. Make us go seep, seep.
So can you hear really well with them ears?
What do your elf eyes see?
Oh, I'm very sleepy.
Oh, it's the French maid elf.
This means the French elf. I took the liberty of cleaning your clothes. JK, I spat on them. I'm just a French orc.
Enza, by the way, sent a message complimenting everybody's French accents.
Oh, by complimenting, it was destroying.
Yeah, everybody's very, very poor French accent.
What do you mean? This is perfect.
You sound like...
C'est parfait.
Oh, a really good French actor. He was in Underwater.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of his name, but I know exactly what you're talking
really
about.
It really doesn't matter, but... The French got me, man. But he's got the orc audience, right? And they're all very pleased that Adar is coming. And was that Magrot that was injured?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're thinking of Vincent Cassel.
That's right. That's right, Enza. Vincent Cassel, your favorite actor. I'm certain of it. And then he cuts back to Adar. We finally see him not blurry. He's like a scarred elf. I guess, right? And he goes down to heal Magrot in the orc way, which is to stab them in the chest.
It's a mercy killing.
Mm-hmm. I guess you could put it that way. No, that's orc healing.
Well, I liked it because he knows how to cure you.
Like,
oh, Pop, you're here to be with me in my last moments. And then he kills him. And you see, like, Adar has, like, this moment where in his eyes, he's just so, like, he's visibly upset that he had to kill this soldier, which is something we've never really seen on the orc side of things. Cause usually orcs are just like, ah, you looked at me wrong, Lieutenant. Stab.
Yeah.
And it's not a healthy work environment.
We now know that that's a healing stab. That's a sign of respect in the orc community.
He's like, I heal you from life.
Yeah. So when you're an orc child and you get like the chicken pox, that is terrible.
They carve them.
Mummy, I can't stop itching. Stab.
Let me just stab you a little bit, little girl.
Why is the mom French?
It still means the French orc has children. You do not know everything about the French orc.
Orc. Everybody hates us.
I have
us.
Many layers.
Everybody hates us. Here's one thing that it blew my mind. The Adar is Elvish for father. And so ipso facto, concordedly vis-a-vis, Adar is the orc papa. So basically, Adar is their Dr. Brenner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he rolls out like,
I've noticed that you've all erected a little tunnel. Question. Why? Why aren't you fighting each other? That's why I made you, so I could watch you fight. I was sick and tired of trying to find actual human children.
We were, but then we found this tree and we got stuck.
And that's why they got so mad at Arendir. They were like, you are like Papa.
You heard us. But Adar seems to be like the opposite of a Dr. Brenner. He's actually caring and nurturing. He's what Papa should have been the whole time.
Mm-hmm. He's even got the scars on his face.
He's got the scars to prove it. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, do we have any theories about...
Did an orc psychically throw a door in his face? I don't know.
How did he get this way? Obviously, he's an elf because he knows, he talks to Arendir about where he's from. He's like, oh, I used to walk on that river. I dropped a couple of coins there. Have you seen him? Yeah, whatever.
theories. I think that he was probably part of like the expeditionary forces or whatever that initially fought Sauron and stuff. Like he probably knows Galadriel. And I think that he would have gotten abandoned by the elves at some point. And
I got to third base with Celebrimbor on that river. Hello.
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 I considered it a home run.
Yeah, I think that he got left for dead. And
Oh, you think he's like a POW?
Maybe initially. And
like
then,
a disenfranchised elf warrior. I like this mm-hmm. backstory.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll get a name that we recognize once we find out his real name?
It'd be awesome if that was like her brother or something, but she hasn't aged, so why would he have aged so drastically? So, I mean, maybe not, but...
It's a different actor, too.
Well, yeah.
Oh, what actor is it, Andy, with your homework?
Oh, it was the guy that played Benjen Stark.
Benjen Stark from Game of... That's the second one. Game of Thrones character that we've gotten.
Joseph Mauley? I don't know how you pronounce that last name. It's like M-A-U-L-E.
Mull.
What show was it? There was like 13 Game of Thrones actors. Doctor Who?
Yes, Doctor. And I was sending you pictures all the time.
Yeah, that was like a game Andy used to play. That's why he's so good at this. He played Find the GOT characters for years now.
Oh, yeah. That was always a fun game when playing Doctor Who.
So many.
Yeah, like literally every one of them.
I forget his name. Is Hodor in it?
And the DJ? Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Not that so. I've seen
DJ so. Hold the door.
He's too busy DJing.
Yeah, that's true. On the ones and twos.
So I misspelled Joseph Maul's name. It's M-A-W-L-E is how you spell it. Sorry.
It's okay, buddy. I wasn't worried about it.
I just didn't want people to call me out.
Trying to avoid that email.
I'm trying to avoid that email.
Yeah. So then he puts Magrot out of misery and all the orc soldiers start to chant in the black speech. Nampaka Glusha. Mm-hmm. I don't want to summon Sauron, but Nampaka Glusha is what they say. Mm-hmm. I didn't look up what that means, but fuck it. And then we cut back to a little conversation. That's the...
Well, there's one thing I want to touch on before we move on from the scene is when he's talking to Arendir, he talks like... Arendir's like, why do they call you father? And and Adar says something along the effect of like, you've been told lies so long that even the roots and rock believe them. And I thought that was such a cool way of saying like, there's some sort of like... Obviously, Adar is operating under this influence that the elves are doing something wrong.
The elves are bad.
And that the orcs aren't necessarily evil, and that's why he's doing this. So
the
it's
roots
kind of,
and rocks believe it, and the rocks look down, which is why they sink. Yeah. That's what he then said.
Yeah, he should have been looking up at the stars. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then it would have floated rocks.
That's why this guy's a good foil to Galadriel.
It is.
Yeah, because he's looking down, she's looking up.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, if you smoke a rock, you end up hanging out with the orcs, and they like to party.
But I also love that he says that, like, these lies can't be undone short of creating a new world, and that can't be done unless by God, which I am not yet.
Not yet.
Like, oh, shit, you trying to get a ring on this finger?
So now we know that Adar plans to become godlike. He's seeking some sort of power. And we also learn in this episode that the object for which they have been digging, other than just for tunnels, because they like tunnels, and hate sunlight, is the hilt of the sword that Theo has found. Mm-hmm. More on that later. But then he says he's going to let Arendir go and take a message to the men in the tower, which is Bronwyn and her crew, the city of Aes Tirith. And, you know, we find out what the message is a little bit later. So then we cut to Bronwyn and company. They're running out of food in their little tower fortress. And Theo, he's bored. He wants to make a run. Let me roll down to the store. Buy some milk and some snacks, a Take Five bar, definitely not any Heath bars, and roll back through.
Some pepperoni combos, cracker. Ooh, not
yes,
pretzel.
Yes. All the good stuff from the grocery bag.
Get some Wheaties for the morning.
And she's like, no, it's too dangerous. We're just going to hunt some rabbits. And then, like, Lenny rolls up and he's like, George, let me pet the rabbits, George. It's just super weird.
And it's a Mice and Men reference.
Tell me about the rabbits.
So she doesn't want him to go. It's too dangerous. And he sneaks out. We cut to Rowan and Theo rolling through the village. They've already got a bunch of sacks full of shit. They got a little, what's it called? A wheelbarrow. Wheelbarrow with it. Rowan's like,
they made a good ass haul.
Pretty scary. Yeah.
For real, quickly. Dude.
But then Theo's a little greedy. He's like, I'm going to go in the tavern.
Get some beer.
I want some booze.
So this particular moment confused me for a second. Cause yeah, Theo's like, Rowan, tavern, we got to check that out. And Rowan's like, oh, I don't want to go in there. It's awfully and I was really, did I miss something? Is there something that's supposed to make the tavern scarier? Or is he just like having flashbacks from when she showed up with the orc's head and he's like, I don't want to see that head again because I left it in there. I don't know.
Assume that up to this point they had been staying outside and didn't.
That's
want
the
to
vibe
go
I
in.
Got. Is okay. The way I read the scene was,
oh, because they can tunnel up from underneath.
He was safe in the sunlight. The sunlight was fading and he was already terrified. Never wanted to be here in the begin with. He feels like, OK, we got it. Let's go.
That's true, because as soon as that sun gets overcast, it becomes cloudy outside. Of there. That kid kicks rocks.
Yep. He gets a little cloudy. He rolls out.
Bags.
Theo walks into the tavern. An orc pops out, gets real stabby. And then he draws like the sword hilt that he now knows will grow from his own blood. It's got this weird thing where it's like it's stabby on the hilt so that he can stab it into his own forearm and make the blade of it grow.
It's dope.
He cuts the orc with it. And then the orc runs out chasing him like, I found it. So apparently they've been looking for this sword the whole time. And then he hides in a well.
Well, well, well.
Look who we've got here.
Look who it is. It's Theo Whaleboy.
Mm. Mm-hmm. He means well.
I do like how he's like, he's kind of like splayed out like Spider-Man, just trying to hold himself above the water.
The water that is an inch below where he's at.
So it's not a deep
well. I don't want to get wet.
I won't get wet.
I don't want to die, but I definitely don't want to get wet.
And then the orc, I think the orc's name was Wrath.
It's Wrath, yeah.
He walks over and he's like, I heard something in there.
Yeah.
And he looks down and there's like undisturbed water. And he looks at the water for maybe half a second before he's like, nope, nothing there.
Nothing in there. I thought there was something in there. No, don't even look.
And then the kid, when he comes out of the water, he's like,
he makes a lot of noise immediately. Well, I wasn't here.
that Wrath guy reminds me of every.
Nope, like, not looking twice.
Not these eyes.
I already looked down there. What? Nothing.
Not these eyes.
It reminds me of every video game character, like in a stealth game, where he's like, what was that?
There's something around here.
Must have been the wind.
With an exclamation point.
Metal Gear.
Is that Metal Gear?
Yeah, nice.
We cut back to Elrond and Celebrimbor. Hello. And it turns out the dwarves are helping build what we think is the forge, or know is the forge.
It's a tower for sure.
A tower. Yeah, we think we know what's about to go down there. But anyhoozle, and Durin is hiding something. And
I love how Celebrimbor's like, he's like, Aaron says, hey, man, what's wrong? Oh, it's nothing. It's your friend. I don't want to say anything.
That's bad vibes.
Like, come on, bitch. Spill the tea. You know you want to. Oh, don't twist my arm. Don't make me do it.
You're making me uncomfortable. They're building stuff for us. They seem very nice.
It's like that Kristen Wiig character from SNL. Like, don't make me sing. Don't make me sing. Please don't make me sing.
But he's a hot goss.
Don't make me sing.
Caleb Rimbor is a hot goss.
He is such a hot goss.
He wants to talk about it so bad.
He is a nasty bitch who just wants to goss it up.
He got to third base with Adar.
You know he did.
Right at the river.
Good
for
him.
Everybody about it. And Adar had to leave home because he was embarrassed and start hanging out with orcs.
You know that started off with Caleb Rimbor going, don't make me tell you what we did at the river.
Stop.
Okay, fine. He had two coins.
And then Elrond goes to ask Deeza. These news, and then
God damn it.
It sounded like I was setting you up for something.
I shouldn't laugh at that, but God damn. You got a good
you
one.
You did. Because he's like, hold up. Maybe Caleb Rimbor's onto something. Where is Durin? And she is clearly lying, right? At least by the estimation of Elrond. Says, he's in the quartz mine, right? Was that what she calls it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's like, quartz mine. And I don't know how he knows so much about the mines. I guess he's an immortal elf. He knows a lot of shit. Quartz mine takes 2 days to get down there. He didn't bring his quartz mine and a hammer. I see it right there, by the way.
It's on the wall.
And also, what else did he say? Oh, you're making his favorite dinner. Whip a Willowill soup or whatever.
He is a slut for that soup, all right? You know if you make that, he's going to be here nearby.
Ain't no way he'd leave with that soup cooking.
Only way to a man's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so she lies again. She covers all that shit up, thinks she did a bang-up job. And then we cut to Doran and Deeza talking on the bridge of Casadun. And but too bad, Elrond is using his elf ears and his elf eyes. Mm-hmm. And he sees and hears everything that's going on.
Aragorn's in the background. What do your elf eyes see?
Yeah.
You missed one of my favorite lines of the episode when Deesa's like, hey, you call me a liar in my own house?
That's a recipe for strong gravy.
That's a recipe for strong gravy.
Hell yeah, it is.
Oh, girl. You can't swallow her.
I'm trying to remember that line really quickly, and I'm glad I didn't try because it was something like, you can't swallow this gravy.
That's basically what it is.
That's some spicy gravy.
That's a recipe for strong gravy.
That's some thick ass gravy.
I do love how like they meet on the bridge, supposedly so they're out of earshot from the elf with the super hearing, but they're in the most visible bridge with no obstructions so that the elf can just read their lips from a mile away with their elf eyes. Like,
well, I don't think they have any knowledge, at least, you know, thoroughly of how capable he is of hearing and seeing them. Right?
I think they do, because at one point she's like, keep it down. Like, there's this implied, like, we don't know if he could
be nearby.
We don't
know where the elf's at.
He could be listening to us.
And I like the idea that they're in their own dwarf kingdom, too. They don't really care, except that he is their friend. They don't want to hurt his feelings. They don't want him to know that they've been lying, right? Mm. That's their biggest fear, right?
That's a recipe for strong gravy.
Yeah. That's right. We can't handle that elf gravy.
Yeah. You don't want to rattle those dags.
That's not what you want to do. So then we cut to Elrond. He tracks him down, and he, like, opens the door. I was taking notes, honestly.
He did like a secret knock on the wall. And
yeah,
it was a
knock that their kids were, it was a song their kids were singing when he was talking to Deeza the scene prior.
They were back there playing knock or whatever.
Yeah, they're playing. They were doing,
she was like,
that
knock
song
it off.
And then she nice. And then she hit him. no, but then he does the same little song rap that they do, and it opens the secret door for him. He's like, my name is Aaron, and I'm here to say I'm going to rap in a rapping way. I got a real big beat.
Anyhoozle, Deeza. We cut back to,
so he gets into the room.
He gets in there and it's Doran and him talking. Yeah. And he makes him promise.
You've been following me.
Yeah.
He doesn't make him promise. He swear it on the rock. Puts his hand on the cave wall. Like, you have to swear it. You won't tell another living soul, because a dwarf's anger outlives
elven memory. That's a good line too.
Yeah.
We find out what he's down there mining, right? A mine. He's mining mithril, which is the elvish word for it. It's a glittery rock in Dwarven, I think. super lame. Way not as cool.
Well, I think in Dwarven it's something, in English it's glittery rock.
Fancy rock.
So what we're saying is glittery rock in Elvish is Mithril. So Mithril this whole time has meant glittery rock.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty stones.
Yeah, pretty much.
But then there's immediately an accident in the mine and Durin goes running.
Yes, the mine starts crumbling. There's four elves in the mine. And so Durin goes to help them. But it's important for listeners to recall, as I'm sure that you do, Mithril is the strongest metal known to man, elf, or dwarf. It's what Frodo is wearing when the troll
You're
spears
full of surprises,
him.
Master Dwarf.
Yes.
Master Frodo. What's he say?
Baggins.
Master Hobbit.
Oh, I thought it was Baggins.
Shut up, Steve.
Baggins? It doesn't matter. The point is, it's extremely rare. Like, I think that shirt was enough to buy a kingdom, is what Gimli says.
That was Lord a kingly Rings. Gift.
I think kingly Gandalf, gift for sure. Gandalf says at one point.
Was more than that of the Shire.
Yes, that's what he said.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, guys. I love the quotes. I love the quotes.
Fuck Steve, man. Just get them all out there. We cut back to Eärion and Kevin, and he bumps into her and spits some game. That's all that scene is. I guess that's going to be more in
it was a pretty good line.
It was.
She's like,
I'm not talking to weird dudes today. And he's like,
I'll keep a head on a swivel for one. Good thing there's no weird dudes here.
Yeah.
I'll let you know if I find one.
Yeah. Not me.
I wish I could remember the line because I was going to steal that quote too, but I couldn't. Shit.
Yep, no weird dudes here. Just one super nice guy with a huge cock. That's all I see.
Just me. I look like a Roman superhero. Don't mind me.
Yeah. I know he had a pretty weird outfit on.
He did.
That was the least impressive costume I've seen in this show.
Yeah. They were really wearing some New Balance.
Yeah.
Grass stains on it.
The costume department was like, oh shit, I thought this guy's name was Kevin. That's a real character. We're supposed to clothe this guy? I don't know. Go to Spirit of Halloween and get a toga.
We had cargo shorts because I thought his name was Kevin.
Yeah.
Now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. We're so excited to be partnered up with BetterHelp for this show because we're huge advocates for mental health. And we've always wanted a way to work it into the show. And now it gives us an easy way. I actually work in the mental health field, so I'm thinking about this all the time. My mother suffered from bipolar disorder. My dad had undiagnosed issues. And so it's really something that's close to my heart. And I'm so happy to be able to help our listeners if we can in some way with that. My own life, I'm filled with anxiety. I'll just get a little personal for a second. I think I've talked about it, but pretty recently I checked myself into the ER for heart issues that I thought I was having. It turns out it was a panic attack. It was just anxiety. So these are things that I don't talk about a whole lot, but I suffer from. And I, you know, even being in the field, I find it very difficult to find somebody to help me with those things. A lot of the therapists that I find that I jibe with, I connect with, I find out they're not accepting new patients. So I'm like, get really frustrated. And then I don't know where to go from there. What BetterHelp does is it helps pair you with a therapist to help you with your needs. And you can switch therapists at any time. And it's directly online. So you can just easily and without any barriers whatsoever access the help that you need. So when you want a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/streamingthings.
Oh, we did kind of gloss over that.
No, we didn't.
That Durin gave Elrond.
Oh, he gave him the Mithril piece, yes. Which seemed foreboding.
As a token of their friendship.
Yeah. I got a foreboding vibe. Like he was going to accidentally spill the beans to Celebrimbor or somebody like that with that piece.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. Mithril. It's glittery rock.
Oh, I've got plenty of those.
Let me sort some of that.
That'd be really good for my tower.
I feel like Celebrimbor is a cokehead for sure.
I'm going to do a key bump of Mithril.
Like whenever anybody chopping up a line. Anybody chopping up a line. He walks in like, hello. And they're all like, shit.
God damn it.
Bust out another one for me, please.
I'm Celebrimbor, the world's greatest forger of things and also ruiner of parties.
Hello.
Hello.
He just walks in, hands on hip. What do you got there?
Yeah, he's one of those. Like, damn it. We locked the bathroom door, man. No, you didn't. So
he's in the shower, pulls back the curtain. Hello.
You never want to share with him. He does it all too. It's like a nose, like a vacuum cleaner, that Celebrimbor. So Galadriel is, we cut back to her in a cell. And that's where Halbrand like advises her to, I don't know.
A lot of horse metaphors.
Yes. And she was like, cease your horse comparisons, sir.
You're like a colt in full gallop.
Yes.
Quit comparing me to a horse.
Yes, I'm an immortal being. But she seems to take his advice because using his, I guess, essentially, what would you call his advice? Well, how would sum up his advice?
Chris, what is his advice? He's saying something like, use your enemy's fear to control them by giving them what seems to be the answer, but the answer is really the control you have over them.
Seem to acquiesce to their demands.
Yes. And I'm like, huh, is that your plan, Sauron? Oh, sounds like someone who would gift people rings of power to help them in all of their woes and then use a secret ring
to end the darkness.
To end the darkness, bind them unto you. Seems like, I don't know, I think I know where you're going with this plan.
Yeah,
Smeagol. I mean, Halbrand.
Oh, sorry. Shit, I was way off.
Oh, yeah, it's not Smeagol. Smeagol's a victim.
What if Halbrand's just like, my precious?
Oh, it's coming.
That would be a really good Easter egg.
But he's probably petting a horse.
An old-ass hobbit.
We just found out in this episode Halbrand apparently is a huge equestrian.
He is. He's much like, so is Galadriel.
Yeah, she loves riding. Why would she fuck you with the horse metaphors? Hey, I heard you really like him.
I think this is how she said it. She said it like, stop comparing you to horses.
I can't pay attention when you talk like that.
Do you like horses? Nay!
God damn.
I'm just saying.
Like, that was worse than D'Uza.
Sorry. But I mean.
D'Uza nuts?
You can like horses, but still not like it when people call you a horse, you know?
He should have been like, well, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Because thou art more lovely and more temperate.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The Tempest.
Yes.
Which we know resides in her.
You nailed it, Steve. So we cut back to, for some reason, I just have, oh, this is when Farazan walks in. He's like, salutations, elf. I don't know why.
That's what he says.
Yeah, salutations, elf.
I dare you to go to work Monday and like walk into your boss's office and just say that.
Salutations, elf. But I have to depends. What? Make sure they're not like a particularly short person or something though.
Yeah, for real.
Hello, dwarf. And then Galadriel quickly breaks out. She's like, okay, put your handcuffs upon me then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they're all of them are just in the cell like, damn it.
Foiled again.
She's so fast.
How the fuck did we get here? I love how, what's his name, Farazan?
Yes.
Farazan starts to draw his blade. He's like, I can't just let her go. And it's like, what else are you going to do, man?
Yeah, Halbrand's like, I wouldn't do that.
Seriously, Farazan, you got one thing and one thing only in life you need to worry about. And that is the upkeep of that beautiful, beautiful beard.
Well coiffed.
Wow. My Holy goodness. Shit.
Even you Doran deserve, would be slightly impressed.
He would. Farazan, my man, you deserve to just lounge around in that robe and pajamas that you are just rocking because you have that gorgeous ass beard, my dude. I'd love to get lost in the hairs of it.
Mm-hmm. Sit on it, maybe?
And spin.
You saying spin?
Yeah.
Anyhoozle. Cut to Isildur and Eärion. They talk, and that's where he tells her that he got his friends kicked off the boat, and he feels really bad about it. But then the guards rush by before he can feel too bad, and that's where they're searching for the now what's it called, lost prisoner of Galadriel.
Elf on the run.
They keep running through the town. Salutations, elf. That's how they look.
No
for
one's
her.
Answering.
No one's
like,
answering.
Damn it.
I'm trying to trick her. Hello, elf.
Greetings, elf. Damn it.
They got carrots and hay.
But the elf, a.k.a. Galadriel, she breaks a window And she sneaks into the actual king's quarters, the king that I suppose she knows personally from many millennia ago. And that's where she finds the queen regent Muriel sitting on his bedside. And the king...
Well, he wouldn't be alive for that long.
He'd be like 150.
She might know his like
true.
Grand...
That's true. Well, the Numenoreans live to be longer than humans.
Sure, but...
Hundreds of years. But you're right.
But that's like an extra 20 minutes to an elf.
Yeah, to an elf.
Yeah.
That's true. And his name, I guess, is Tar Palantir. And he's a little real sick boy.
He is. He's not looking too good.
This is Muriel's father, correct? Mm-hmm. So he's coughing. We find out none of the other Numenoreans know how sick the king is. And Galadriel's immediately like, sheepish about it. Like, oh, my bad. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty awkward how sick he is. I'm an elf, so I don't get sick. But I can imagine, like, that looks like it sucks.
Those depends he's wearing.
Ew. And he's got like a little, he reminds me of like old, like a production of Scrooge or something. He's just like in the bed and she's the ghost of elf past.
The little hat, the night hat.
Yeah, he's got the little hat on and shit. Anywho, that's rude. And then it, she pulls Muriel aside because Muriel kind of becomes a little more friendly and she's like, don't tell anyone. I know you broke out of prison, but don't tell anyone about my sick dad. And Galadriel's like, just let me ask you something. Why don't you fuck with elves? Because he did. And, right?
In those words, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, well, that's why he ain't king no more.
And basically, that is her, yeah. I mean, she thinks that, she takes her to the Palantir, which is another something that we saw in Lord of the Rings. And she makes Galadriel touch the Palantir.
They have not all been accounted for.
And we still, even 3,000 years in the past, they're not all accounted for.
There's just the one.
At what point were they accounted for, Gandalf?
Who lost them?
How far back in history?
How badly did you lose these things?
But she, that one can show the future of the elves. And that's a really cool scene where Galadriel touches it.
It like shatters, shoots out a little bit.
It's like shatters space and time. That was fucking cool.
It was dope.
And that's like, where we get the great wave.
That's
image.
Why I don't fuck with elves no more.
Yeah.
That's you. So you're the wave.
It's dumb though, because Muriel believes that elves bring upon this Armageddon of Numenor. And Galadriel broaches a very good alternate reading of that. Like, this has not yet come to pass. Maybe it is the forsaking of the elves that brings about this, right? She's like, I see what you're saying. Disagree.
And she's like, yeah, but your opinion is based off fear. And she's like, yeah, but I like fear.
Yeah, big fan of fear.
Keeps me alive.
I love fear. I put it like it's like salt on my steak.
Nom, nom, nom.
And we cut back to Rowan arriving alone with a cart full of food. He's the hero. His mom, Bronwyn, is like, hey, where's Theo? And he's like, he was right behind me. No idea. That's weird. Theo.
It got cloudy. I can't remember.
Yeah, I love that. Like, oh, he was just right behind me. Like, oh, bitch.
Yeah,
no, he wouldn't.
You haven't seen him for miles.
It got a cloud went by and you ran.
He pleaded the fifth.
Not going to lie. He's probably dead. But I told him not to go in the tavern.
That's what I told him. Tavern life will get you.
So we cut back to a small scene, very much like Metal Gear Solid, where like bling. Theo is like pretty successfully. He's playing I hate sneaky video games.
Splinter Cell.
This is one I would not play. He's doing great. He like literally dives into tall grass at one point and disappears like Assassin's Creed in a haystack and sneaks by like 17 or 18 orcs.
I love this scene only because of what the orcs are doing the whole time. Like, it's not like an impressive wonder by any stretch of the imagination, but like, because the orcs are like running around. Where is he? We've been looking for him for at least 8 hours and we're still got this energy. And at one point there's like an orc that has a box and is like going through the box and like throws it on the ground as if like, he's not here.
He's not in the box.
I didn't find him.
I mean, he's just exhausting all potential. You don't know what humans are capable of. Plus, he might have stashed the hilt of the sword in there, maybe.
That's true.
The one orc says like, oh, the boss is going to be pissed. And then the other one's like, the boss is the one that lost him.
It's true.
Like, he's like, yeah, fuck that butt.
He's already being a smartass, you know?
Mm-hmm. I ain't getting paid overtime for this.
When's meat back going to be back on the menu?
Hopefully on Thursdays.
This restaurant sucks.
Meat Thursdays.
And then Arendir rescues him because he gets so close. He's like real happy. He like looks back all satisfied with himself. Yeah, it was, like it was stuck so by all obvious. You bitches.
so obvious what they were doing. Because, yeah, he looks back, has that dumb smirk like, ha, I made it. And then, like, the Vrath, I think is his name.
Is it Vrath that gets
I think it's the same one from earlier, grabs him. He's like, I thought you were going to get away.
You thought I didn't know you were in that well. I did. I'm scared of water.
I've been waiting for you for, like, 8 hours to make your move. It took you a really long time. I was kind of getting worried that you drowned. He pulls his sword out. And he's like, how about if you lose an arm, you'll loosen them lips. And then Arendir stabs him and kills him from behind.
Cuts the shit out of him. And then we're like, yay, Arendir. Then we cut back to Deeza singing. and she's asking the rocks to spit out the four dwarves.
When you say it like that.
That's what she's doing. She's pleading with the rocks at a song that they call
nearly as majestic and whimsical as it actually is portrayed in the video.
This is a type of music that the dwarves coined called rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hard rock and roll? No, or is this more soft rock?
This is just rock and roll, baby. This is like Journey. Yeah, Deez is like, yacht don't rock. Stop believing. Spit out those dwarves. I don't know. I was trying. I can't even sing rock and roll. Doran's upset. He walks back in like, they're all fine. But he's mad that his dad, whose name is also Doran, by the way, we found that out today. He's mad that they're not going to be allowed to dig for Mithril anymore. No more glittery rock. It closed the entire vein down. Too dangerous. And he feels like he's smarter than his dad. We saw that in the last episode. So he rages at the wall. Deez is like, oh, this is awkward. Even Elrond kind of looks like, oh, he's being a little bitch about this. So he goes up to him and tells a long story about his own father. And there's probably some deep lore that everybody was satisfied to learn about. I didn't know any of this, but yeah. It's what is it? Arendil.
This is the brightest star.
This piece of star that he is given in by Galadriel later. Yeah. His dad's exploits were so wonderful that the Valar made him a fucking star in the sky, which seems like a punishment, really. He's like, I was already immortal. I was hanging out. I was smoking old Toby.
How would you like a job? You were so good. How about we take you away from your family?
You want to go to space?
Basically, lonely existence in space.
He's like the elvish version of Apollo, right? Isn't that Apollo like carries the sun across the sky in his chariot?
I'm a little rusty on my Greek.
I think so.
I think that's right.
Is it? It's I'm Greek, right? With
it. Or was it? Yeah, it's Greek. Or is it the sun? Apollo does the sun.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I mean, it's a star.
Yeah, sun is a star. Let's not get technical here about space.
You know what? When you're right, you're right.
But the story reaches Durin, and he goes up to his father and immediately apologizes for his ego and his temper. And the Dwarf King takes a long beat and then says, I didn't expect this.
I thought he was dead for a second.
Yes, so did I. It looked really like foreboding, but he's like, there's nothing to forgive. And there's a pig throne for the dwarves for some reason. Did anybody else catch that?
What?
Yeah, like each side, like the arms of the throne are like, they're pigs.
Mm. Oh, pig. Shit. I thought you meant like throwing pigs, a pig. Like, there was a pig
from a home
thrown like across the screen. No. And you said that. And I'm like, yeah. I have no recollection.
Royal chair
being thrown.
What? It's against the rocks.
Pardon? But I did like how Durin the Third, King Durin, is like, you know, our people say when we become a king, all the kings and queens of old, like all their voices rush into us and we can hear their voices and know their past mistakes and their advice. But you never need that for me because I'm always here with you, my boy.
Until I die.
I've got you
become king.
And then you'll hear me again.
Yeah. Yes, it was a good line. I just was a little confused because just by very nature of the fact that if Prince Durin is ever king, his dad will be dead. So that's why that tradition would need to be. It doesn't matter. It was still cool.
It was just a nice show of support.
Yeah. I love you. I love you, dude.
I love you, dad.
I got 20, I miss your mom. 10, bro.
Exactly.
You want to go throw some pigs?
You want to go pig throwing? And then, you know, he says Elrond invited me to go back to Lindon. And that's where we get a little bit of sinister. They don't trust the elf shit again. Durin's like, oh, yeah, there's definitely something else going on. Even though I gave him the Mithril and made him swear because he's my best friend ever. And his dad was like, that's a good boy. I don't think so either. So he asked him to go to Lindon with him as a spy, find out what the elves are really up to, which I imagine Elrond's intentions are pure, and Celebrimbor probably is up to something, right?
Because I'm always up to something.
Hello.
Hello.
Anybody got any more of that mithril blow?
Starting to really itch over here.
You guys trying to party?
I like to party. We cut back to Arendir. He does, in fact, deliver the message after saving Theo and Bronwyn, who shows up at a very poor time, from all these orcs. It was hella orcs. I got Boromir vibes during this. Did you guys get Boromir vibes?
Yeah, because the music that was playing sounded eerily similar to what plays when he dies.
Yes. And everything was shot in 60 frames a second.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yes.
This is a definitely like a day for night shoot.
Yeah.
That's like all I could see. Like whenever you see a scene in a movie that's supposed to take place at night and it's just incredibly blue, they shut that shit in the daytime and just turn everything blue in post.
Because it was immediately daytime when they got out of the woods, right?
Yeah.
Get to the clearing.
And they took the blue out.
All the lights stopped the orcs better than Arendir's arrows ever could.
Which is the prettiest shot of this entire show.
Gorgeous.
The field, the clouds, the sun, the way it was framed with Arendir and
that scene where he like
the far right third.
What did he do? He like knocked Theo down on purpose and then caught the orc's arrow that was going to hit him,
yeah,
and then shot it back at him.
Yes,
that's fucking amazing.
That was sick. I love that shit. I do like when they get into the clearing and Arendir's got a sword out, like, you know, come at me, guys.
Come at me, bro.
We're gonna have our stand here. And there's this one orc that's on the tree line. He's like, damn it. Like, just like, just like giving him like, meh. And then finally, after like maybe 2 minutes, one of the guys has an idea like, hey, maybe we should keep throwing those bows and arrows at these guys. Oh, yeah, do that.
Shoot him. Shoot her.
Oh, damn it. We're all bad shots.
Mm-mm. He's an elf. He's too fast.
Oh, man. We need to train.
Papa's going to be mad.
What's the point of being in this group if we are not a well-regulated militia?
And actually, Papa wanted him to get away anyway so he can give him the message.
That's true.
That's awkward.
That's awkward.
But Papa wanted the sword.
And this is when we find out Waldrig, who's always been the asshole bartender owner guy, he comes up to Theo and he's like, you deserve a nip of the mash, which I think is liquor. It's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
It's moonshine.
And he knows about the hilt. In fact,
it's his.
It was his hilt. And he's got scars to prove he's been sword growing in his own.
He's a and grower. He says, like, have you heard of a Lord and Savior Sauron Christ?
Yeah, he was like the Jehovah's Witness of Sauron. He's the Sauron Witness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Praise be unto the Father, Son, and the Halbrand Spirit.
Indeed.
Hello, my name is Elder Waldrag.
So Waldrag's up to some bullshit. He worships Sauron. And that's why he's always been such an ass. What an asshole. Fucking moving on. Last scene. We cut to Galadriel being sent away. And all the little Numenoreans are so happy because they hate elves. Like, eh. But then the white tree starts dropping petals of whiteness.
The tears of the Valor.
Mm-hmm.
The Valar.
Yeah.
Valor is like a material. It's very soft.
God damn it. This is the whole Valerion bullshit again. I'm tired of it.
It's the emphasis on the wrong syllable. That's all we're saying. But yeah, so she looks at the tree.
Are falling.
She looks at the portent of the tree leaves falling.
I believe that's an omen.
And says, nah, actually, we can't do that. We could get the elf back. And so she ends up.
I don't choose fear today.
They cut out the scene where the dude, Elendil, was like, hey, can you turn around?
Bring the boat back.
Hey.
Yeah, that would have been a really satisfying
scene.
Stop
them. We've already set the sail.
They start arguing about it.
No, you got to come back.
What do you want us to do? You want us to go faster?
No, I want you to come back.
That's what makes...
We changed our minds.
This is bullshit.
Taika Waititi, the only thing that makes his style his is that he films those scenes and everything else is the same, right?
Yeah.
I just had an epiphany. What do you want us to do?
Everybody's watching still. Aren't you the one that always says the sea's always right? We're on the sea and it's taking us away. What do you want us to do? The sea is always right.
Listen, we're not going to have this argument.
We're going to have this argument. Oh, fuck, are the leaves falling? That's a bad portent.
Yeah.
We have too much fun.
Long story short, you either love us or you hate us. They bring Galadriel back. They decide to not only accompany her to Middle Earth. The Queen Regent Muriel is going to accompany her herself, and she's going to bring an army, and she's going to help fight the evil in the Southlands.
Who will help dispel the Regent's justice?
I will take the elf.
I will. I will too.
I guess I will too.
I suppose you would call this a fellowship.
I started to leave again, but then I heard you need help, so I'm coming back.
That's the last
time. You're expecting me to fucking take them, are you?
I would. I will take it. And that's the end of the episode, right?
So yeah, this scene with them all going like, I'll do it. Like, this was the one that actually got me really hyped.
Me
like,
too.
In all honesty, like.
Well, everything starting with the leaves falling.
Yeah, exactly. And like all the way up to the end of the episode, because it was really like, yes, get together. And like everyone's throwing their hands up in the air and you just get this rousing motivational like, yeah, there's still good in the realms of men. Right. And it's kind of like unearned because it's only been like not in the fact that it's not unearned, but like there's only been four episodes to get to this point. Right. But like I was just as jazzed that like maybe the end of like season six of Game of Thrones, when it's like, yes, the Khaleesi's coming to Westeros after six seasons.
You like, were that level?
I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. Come on, guys.
That's the second time you've put M'lady in your mouth.
Mm.
I don't like the phrasing of that.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
I'm moving straight on from that. That was my bad. That was an egregious error in phrasing.
You doth overstep, my lord.
I did. I do bite my tongue at you, sir. My thumb. Fuck. I don't have any second breakfasts. Do either of you?
Oh, I have two tiny little ones.
Like that we didn't mention in the thing.
Yeah, a little bit. So the
Captain Wrong Pants wants to go first.
Yeah, well, this one I can't be wrong about unless I just am blind.
Your elf eyes saw something.
This is a nothing second breakfast, but I'm gonna say it anyway. When the people at the tower are like, "Oh my god, what are we gonna do about rations?" and they're like, "Taters." And they
you're using potatoes?
Yes.
Because they were once mentioned in the movie.
I also wanted to bring up the old mine.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
The old mine that they said is perilous when they're where they find the Mithril. I assume that's the mine. And they're saying
the mirror.
They delve too gridly and too deep. I'm going to assume that it's that mine.
Where they found the Balrog?
Yeah, well, specifically calling it the old mine says they've already mined the place and they're going even deeper. And they said that it is, he said it's treacherous to mine there. And
has anyone ever heard the name?
Durin the Senior doesn't want him to.
Miromir? Miromir?
Miromir?
That's the name of the mine, Miromir. Because when the elf knows it, he's like, Miromir.
Yeah, because Khazad Dûm is built near a lake that I think is called Miromir. Because the original Durin saw something in the reflection of the mirror and it was like some portent that he should build a city there. And that's why that city lives there. And I think they're underneath the lake, I think.
Okay.
I could be completely wrong. That's just something I read earlier today, like in passing and thought, Miromir
was the lake located beneath the east gate of Khazad Dûm. It lay in the southeast corner of Dimrill Dale. Is that the one that the squid comes out of and attacks them?
Well, I don't know the geography that well. Right outside the Malin.
Is it outside Malin or inside the Malin?
Yeah.
Probably both.
Interesting.
Maybe there's like an outside lake and then there's also like a underground version of it. I don't know. Geography.
Mm. But yeah, those were the taters.
It is in the book, but I don't think it's the Squid Lake, but it's like during the events that led up to the War of the Ring, the Fellowship passed by the lake after escaping Moria. So it's on the other side.
Oh, okay.
Despite their hurry, Gimli would not leave without looking in the lake. Frodo Baggins joined him and both saw Durin's crown. So you're right. Miromir is the lake. Go Steve.
Yay me.
Go Spaghetti's.
Go Spaghetti's. I have a couple second breakfast. The first one is when Isildur and his friends are arguing. One of his friends says something along the lines of like, that's what you do. You just walk away. And I'm like, damn right. That's what Isildur does. He should have dropped that ring in the volcano. But what'd he do? He
walked away with the ring.
Mm-hmm. With it. Isildur. At one point when Vroth, when he surprises Theo in the tavern and cuts him, he makes a meal of licking his blade. And that reminds me of like the orcs in the original movies that would like that love licking their blades blood on like,
they're like
delicious.
Cats.
That sharpens the steel.
The Uruk-hai that Aragorn fights, he pulls Aragorn's dagger out and then licks it right before he gets his head kit.
Yep.
They
love,
it was awesome.
They love the taste of blood. And that then what's badass. the watchtower's name that they all kind of like huddle into where the taters happens?
I don't know.
Well, whatever that place is called.
Osiris is the city.
Oh, yeah. But that's not the name of the watchtower.
I don't think it's the name of the tower.
Okay. But while they're in the tower, I was getting mega Helm's Deep vibes, like right before the Battle of Helm's Deep when all the citizens are flooding in there. And,
true.
And they're all just kind of getting food and stuff.
Taters.
Yeah. Taters. Yeah.
What's taters?
Potatoes. But that, yeah, that's my second breakfasties.
People own.
Gollum don't like nasty taters. Anywhoozle, that brings us to our Old Toby segment, because nobody else has any more second breakfast, right?
Right.
Old Toby is the finest scenes in the South Farthing, your top three favorite scenes in the episode, or your moments, rather. Steve, take it away. What is your number three?
Number three, we just talked about it. It's the final scene.
The taters?
No. I wish. No, it's just the final scene of the episode with everyone going, I will serve. I will serve. Like, that's such a hyped up moment. It looks gorgeous. And it was just kind of like the first really gratifying feel good. Yeah. Moment of the series so far. And I'm excited to see how they follow up with it in the next episode. Hopefully it's something cool. I'm sure it will be, but let's hope.
That is also my number three. It was the, hopefully the turn into two. It felt like a moment, a turning point of the show where we're finally going to get the show that we've been wanting. And so I was super duper hyped for it.
Absolutely. My number three is the Palantir, the touching of the Palantir by Galadriel with that cool animation where it's like, ch-ch-ch.
What was it like? Ch-ch-ch. It's beautiful.
Fucking loved it. That was awesome. What's your number two, Steve?
My number two is the scene with the two Durins, Durin and his dad, the one where there was no pig throwing.
Daddy Durin.
Daddy Durin, Big Daddy Durin.
You are like Papa.
I really love that actor, and you know, the adult Durin is also really cool. And I just liked how, I don't know, I'm a big softy for any sort of scene where someone apologizes for something. And then the other person like puts their hand on their shoulder, like there's nothing to apologize for.
Yeah. It's all like, good, baby.
Big softy for that. And then it kind of
like digging for rocks. I do too.
Yeah. We all love it. Dig it for gold, baby. But then it has this weird turn where you get that feel good moment, but then there's like a little bit of sinisterness to it because it kind of turns like, hey, we
want to spy on the elves.
Get a spy on your best friend.
Oh, that was a second breakfast too. Boromir, when he's dying, he's like, forgive me, I did not see. And Aragorn says, there is nothing to forgive.
Andy coming up with second breakfasts on the fly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's calling an audible.
I think you're right. You can go back.
Called it.
What?
You can go back.
Yeah, I'll edit this part out in the original segment.
So my number two is Arendir catching the arrow, the slow-mo awesomeness of saving the kid, Theo, and turning around, shooting it. I wish that it wasn't slow-mo, but it was dope. That with, what's Dina?
Deeza?
Deeza's music in the background, and then goes into that badass shot where they're standing in the field in the sunlight with the clouds, and then all the orcs are standing in the shade like, yeah, I wish I could get you. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
I wish I could get you, but I can't. His sounded more resigned, but already like honest with himself. So, yeah. I wish I could get you, but I can't.
I have realistic expectations.
I'm aware of my flaws.
Sunlight, mostly.
What about you?
And also shooting. damn it. There's the only two things I could choose right now. My number two is the same scene. Arendir with the arrows and that whole hullabaloo in the forest. Very much love that. I like elf shenanigans. I want more elf shenanigans.
Oh, hello.
Since we don't have any human warriors, I don't think at all. We've got some boaters.
Now, Halbrand beat some ass last episode.
He said human, not Sauron.
Yeah, oh, Sauron doesn't count. So I want elf shenanigans. I like... And maybe even see Durin fight. That'd be cool. I want violence. I like that.
You choose violence?
I do. Mm-hmm. In my fantasy. Mm-hmm. Steven, your number one moment.
My number one, I wrote it down in my notes as Hello, Adar. It's the scene where we get to meet Adar. I really, really like that scene. Yeah. I liked it just because in just one simple scene, it kind of put a lot of pieces into place for me. Like finally we have a antagonist of the series that isn't just a nebulous, like, is there a Sauron? Is there a Morgoth? Is there just general malcontent out there? No, it's just this really interesting looking
Dr. Evil, general malcontent.
Throw me a freaking bone here, Adar.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
I want some orcs with some freaking laser beams on their heads. Okay. but like in just one scene, we get this really captivating performance from this character that is an elf that's working with the orcs that in and of itself is interesting, but he's not like, he doesn't come off as like evil for evil's sake. There is something haunting him. There is, you can tell there's an interesting motivation behind why he's doing it. And there's some really good acting in that scene, like the way he's kind of like resigned to his role, but he feels resolute in what he's doing. And when he has to kill the orc, and you can see it actually like hurts him to have to kill this thing that he has some sort of care for. And yeah, it's a fucking orc, right? Who has ever given any sort of care for an orc?
Not me.
Maybe if more people in Middle Earth would just hug an orc and let him call you daddy, that this, we would solve so many problems.
If they would just put me,
call me Adar,
back on the menu.
That's all they've been asking for this whole time is elves. Come on, we can't all be vegans. Let's go.
All the elves do is they want to eat veggie after veggie, potatoes. Right. Like talk about
us and the Mexican pizza at Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. We want it back on the menu.
Put it back on the menu.
That's all we want.
That's where's the McRib?
Want. Give me what I want.
Every year when the McRib comes back, you hear
the
an orc.
Is back.
Like meat back on the menu, boys.
How are you guys? The McRib is back. Let's go get a large meal and combo.
I hate the French orc.
Why do you hate the French orc? Are we going to get the McRib with French fries? For the French orc?
Andy, what's your number one?
That is also my number one, the introduction of Adar.
Really? Yeah, I love Steve's take on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Subsequently, yours. I think
he truly does look heartbroken. This is also the grayest that Lord of the Rings has ever been. It's always light versus dark. And to have like a fallen angel, if you will, not an angel, but an elf. And the implications of him being with the orcs at all is so interesting to me. It's was some of the most interesting shit that I think anybody could have done with the Lord of the Rings lore. And I'm really excited because the actor that's playing it is fucking phenomenal. And two, like the having the face of the evil now really does like change the stakes in a way that I think the show desperately needed. And yeah, it's it was meaningful and beautiful, and not just him being sad about it, but even like the orcs around him were like saying things in the black speech that I don't think they translated it. No. But it was still like said like morosely and sadly, and like
they were doing their own version of orc funeral rites.
Yeah, and they like took off some piece of his like chest piece and then like carried him away and stuff. And so
we've
like
never seen orcs act like that. Yeah.
An aspect of like their society, if they have that, that we've never seen. But yeah, I thought it was beautiful.
Chris, what's your number one?
My number one was the I will serve moment that Steve was talking about. I think it was your number two, number three, even actually.
It's number three.
Yeah, that's my number one.
That's like my number three.
Both of your number three. It's a moment that, like you guys said, it's a step forward in a way that is almost like a breath of relief. You know, I have a really big like bone to pick in all writing like this, where it's like you kind of get this manufactured hindrance on your main character that you know there is no doubt that they will surmount. It's just a break for other storylines to catch up or what, you know what I mean? Like when the protagonist gets, can't convince whatever, no matter what kind of story it is, like the daughter can't convince the dad to let him out of the house, but only the kids can save the world. So, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's going to be this turn, and this kind of seemed like that for me, where like, I know that she's going to leave Numenor, and she's probably going to leave Numenor with the help of Queen Muriel. Can we get to that? I want to see that so desperately. And now we've spanned this over two episodes, right? And so there's that like relief element to it. But also, yeah, like you guys had said, I was really profoundly moved by it. I think it was beautifully shot when the leaves of the tree fell. We'd seen that in the vision of the Palantir and all the men, because we know where this goes, right? Mm-hmm. Like they do be fighting. And
they do be fighting.
It takes millennia to win, but they do be winning. Mm-hmm. And it takes the unification of all the peoples to do that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just caught me in the feels, took me back to the movies that I love. And I thought that was a great moment.
There's a small touch in that sequence too that I don't think we've referenced yet, is when the white petals start falling. There's this top down shot of her in the alleyway looking up at the petals, and it mirrors the top down shot from the beginning of the episodes when she sees the petals falling while she's like holding the baby.
Yeah.
It's like a mirror. It's like a perfect bookend for this episode. And yeah. I love it when episodes do bookends like that, even if it's like through visual storytelling.
And this is based on books
that did end eventually.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
Well, you heard it here third, guys.
Second breakfast right there. Write that down.
Based on a book.
So who is, this is the one performance to rule them all. Your favorite performance of the episode. Steve, start us off, Papa.
What?
I was going to say Dick and Balls of Streaming Things.
That's me. That's me. The Dick and Balls right here. My one performance to rule them all is Joseph Maul, or however we're pronouncing his last name, Adar, the guy who plays Adar. Even though he was in one scene, or actually he's in two scenes, he shows up very briefly towards the end of the episode and like, we found the hilt. And he just is like, oh, cool.
Dope. But he's also in the last episode, all blurry.
That's true. He put a Loch Ness monster on us and he's just slightly out of focus and blurry in the background. But no, like in just his small scene that he was in, he was able to convey so many layers of emotion with this character, and you just really saw the flaws and also, but also the beauty in it. And I think that's a very hard thing to do when you only have such a limited amount of screen time to convey such things in such a small scene, where really all you're doing for half of that scene, even you're either not talking or you're speaking orc gibberish, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other half of the scene, you're just like, hey man,
Nampaka Glusha,
where are you from? Cool. Two coins. How's Celebrimbor doing? But no, like I was really, really impressed with him. And like, this was like an episode where if you're going to introduce the quote unquote, I assume quote unquote antagonist of the season, this was a very compelling way to do so. And it in no small part is owed to the performance of Joseph Maul. Andy?
Same.
Ditto?
For all the reasons that you just said. Yes.
All right. Chris?
Sorry, I'm sure I'm reading more black speech. I can't decipher it, guys. None of those words are what's in this, the One Ring to Rule Them All stuff.
We need a Duolingo for black speech.
The actor who played, I'm double dipping because we've said this guy before, but the actor who played Prince Durin, I love him so much. I think he's such a good, it's
you
not like,
my win.
It doesn't seem like a caricature, like the way that the Hobbit movies felt, you know, mm-hmm. like Tim Burton's directing this, I guess, the kind of shit. It's just like, it's this very like lived in, unique and idiosyncratic and hilarious being, but it seems, yeah, like I said, lived in and real. Like it seems like, you know, a dwarf.
Yeah. The moment when he like curses his father, like, I wish I'd be rid of him.
Yeah.
Like that is... That was good.
The emotive moments are so powerful. Like the whole, when he was so angry at Elrond for missing his wedding. And then again, in this scene, when he's just so angry at his father, but mollified by the speech that Elrond gives him. Like he just, you can feel the lust that he has for Deeza. And I love it. I think it's funny, right?
Owen or Arthur.
That's right. Owen Arthur. Or maybe it's just Owen. It's just the spelling of that.
But. I was trying to look up the Welsh pronunciations. Owen.
Yeah. Owen?
I think.
Owen Arthur. We stand him. I love his. I know that Steve and Andy are a big fan of his performance as well. I'm going with Durin again. That's all the time we have to talk about episode 4 of The Great Wave. You'll see us in a couple days talking about episode 5 of House of the Dragon.
Yeah, and then what's after that?
A big-ass mailbag.
Big-ass mailbag.
So don't forget to write into streamingthingspod@gmail.com. We've already got a bunch of emails to sift through to try to add to that episode, but you can add yours to it. You've got some great thoughts, I'm sure. Tons of people are in our Discord now. We've got all these different channels. It's a thriving community. You can join that by having a membership on a certain tier of the Patreon at patreon.com/streamingthings. And they're all having fun buying the merch and it just tickles me pink. I think everybody's having a great time.
Yeah, they're having so much fun.
I'm learning a bunch of stuff. They're suggesting movies and shows to us, and it's a good, fun time. You can follow us on Twitter @StreamThingPod. You can do that for free. You can also for free rate and review the show wherever you're listening to this. That helps us a ton. So thank you for that in advance. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming. Shout out. Thank you for your patronage.
You have a beautiful voice.
I don't think I do.
Aw.
It's pretty good.
Don't be so hard on yourself, buddy.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10 would smash. Well, we're doing patron shout outs differently this time, guys. We're going to do them once a month, and this recording will last the entire month. But in this month, we will go over the new patrons that sign up for the month and also the patrons who upgraded their tiers that month as well. Mm. Are you excited to find out the cool people that did such a thing?
Down. I'm very excited.
All right. So let me introduce to you our brand new patrons for the Try Before You Deny tier. It's Aaron Layton and Crystal Trujillo.
Woo! Hi, friends.
In the Marty P VIP tier, it's Josh and Anna.
Marty B.
What did I say?
Marty P.
Oh, Marty B. Excuse me. How fucking dare you? I've been here for how long and you don't know my name.
The entire time, sir.
You've given me a terrible wound.
What if Marty B's like a Marty P, man?
Well, our new chocolate pudding producers, we have Alex Fisher, Brittany Deck, Enver Psycho. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm surely not.
Probably not, man.
Jen L, Jess R, Mandy Spears, Shannon Myers, and Zach Suthers. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, friends.
Thanks, Pachachos.
And our final new patron in the Friends Don't Lie tier, we have Colin P. Frost. Thank you, Colleen.
Another P, man.
Thank you so much. Now we go into the upgrades. That's
the road less traveled, man.
These are the people that gave us money before, and we thought, hey, what about more money for these guys? Because they're just so giving and full of mirth.
Mirth,
all of it. These people upgraded to the Try Before You Deny tier.
Try Before You Deny, man.
Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Casey McCain, John Collins, Kalisha Reeves, Kate Kiki, and Will Nash. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
And then these people upgraded to the Marty B VIP section. Thank you, A. Wells, Adam Horn, Adam Raymond, R.K. Chenanigans, Barb, Caleb Jeter, Carmelita Valdez McCoy. I love saying your name fully, Carmelita, because it's so cool. Chloe Richardson, Cindy Miller Ray, Elizabeth Hubbard, Enza, Jimmy Gadd, John Madden, like the John Madden. Isn't he dead?
Yes.
Well,
he's not dead,
but he's on the cover of Madden 23.
And now he's here to write X's and circles over footage of football players. Thank you, Jadinglage. Thank you, Jadinglage. Morgus. Thank you, Katie Blair. Kayla Higgins.
It's with me. It's me. The French Oak.
Thank you, Lisa L. Marcus Mills. Michelle Moore. Nick Nolte. Nicole Cassis. Paola Garcia. Sean Callahan. Stephanie Pagalis. Suzanne Rode and Sydney Day. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.
And good night.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.